Welcome to Travel Writers Radio, Kerry.
Thank you very much, Sue.
Nice to be here in Gizeh. Can you tell me what does Gizeh offer? What are the best things to do when you're here?
Gizeh offers people an opportunity for a holiday that's not full of glam. It's very down to earth. You get to see the people as they really are, and perhaps a little rough around the edges at times, but the natural scenery is really beautiful. It's, despite a little rain, it's always nice and warm, and I think most people in winter climates really look forward to that. And we have very healthy marine life, which is quite exciting for people snorkeling and diving. And for those that wish to do walking or hiking, there's a lot of butterflies, beautiful orchids, and birds, a lot of really nice songbirds.
Our listeners might be able to hear the rain at the moment as we're recording this interview, because it's quite a wet day today.
Well, unfortunately, it's the tropics, and everything's nice and green for a reason. And in fact, that we didn't have a lot of rain during the wet season. There isn't a time when we don't have some sort of rain, and the majority of people are living in houses with just rain collection tanks. So if we don't have rain, we're all struggling for drinking water.
So how do people get here? What's the best way to say you're coming from Australia? How do they get to Gizeh?
There are connecting flights from Brisbane with Solomon Airlines that connect with the domestic and leave, I think it's four times a week now. And those flights connect straight through to Gizeh, and it's Solomon Airlines. If you wish to use Virgin, the connections aren't great, and there is a chance that you might have to overnight in Honiara, but that's fine. If you wish to do some activities in Honiara, then that works in as well. So you have the choice of the two different major airlines to come up. And there's a flight also out to Fiji. You can also go to Papua New Guinea, to Port Moresby. So we're linked to a number of destinations.
And what's the accommodation like? You know, what have you got to offer here?
For people that want a holiday on an island resort, we've now got three larger island resorts and a number of really small family orientated places. There are also village orientated accommodations that can be in bungalows or homestay with a family. And in town in Gizeh, they offer guest lodges. There's a Gizeh hotel which has air conditioned rooms, hot water, swimming
toilets,
pool, bar, restaurant, and all the facilities that someone might like, especially the air conditioning.
Do tourists sometimes have sort of unrealistic expectations of what life is like here? How do you overcome that?
I think the first thing is that many people, when they arrive on holidays, they take varying number of days before they actually relax and get into a holiday mode. And being a Pacific nation, people live a lot more relaxed lifestyle, and everything, despite all our efforts, things do go slowly. And for many people, that's fine, because then they also slow down, and that's their holiday. If you have to wait a few minutes longer for a boat to arrive or something like that, that's not a problem. Some people, of course, find it difficult to work out what they're going to do with a few minutes in between, but after a while, everybody enjoys the amazing views and gets to the point where they can just sit and relax, and time can merrily go past, and you can loll away a number of hours and not even realise it. And that's being on holidays.
Now, the Solomon Islands, of course, there was a lot of Allied troops are stationed here during the war. There were a lot of battles, of course, the Battle of Guadalcanal and the Coral Sea. So what can people who are into World War II history, what can they see here?
Based from Gizeh, we have a number of tours that can take you towards the Bona Bona Lagoon. And on New Georgia, there are actually things like American Stuart Tank. There's Japanese gun fort that at this point is just guns on the beachhead. And the seaside used to be full of a lot of Coca-Cola bottles, shells, things like that, but we're collecting those sort of artifacts aren't in large numbers. On the island of Columbunga, which is opposite us, there are a number of remnants of the war, including a Japanese underground hospital. And in that same area, there's a lot of light setups where they would be looking for aircraft. And again, there would be gun forts so they could actually shoot any of the enemy aircraft when they were coming around. Because the Japanese were quite heavily encamped on Columbangra, and the Americans and New Zealanders actually moved into places like Vella La Vella. So they were on all different islands. And there are some things left behind, not large amounts. There's a lot of remnants of barges on different coastline areas and inlets. We have the Tonga wreck, which is sitting in one of our bays off Rizzo Island, which is enjoyable for divers. And snorkelers can see the bow section of that boat as well. So it is something that even snorkelers can enjoy.
We went on that, we actually dove on that boat yesterday, and it is, I mean, there was quite a lot to see and still quite a few relics on board the ship, a tank and I think a jeep, and you can see various things like that. So a lot of that, the original equipment is still on board the ship, is that right?
That's right. It was a transport vessel, and they had things like different supplies, medical supplies, and there was a motorbike and as you said, there was a jeep, had some vehicles at the front section, and midships they had a small two-man tank, which must have been actually secured somehow to the deck, because when the ship actually sunk and rolled over, it's still secured to the deck. It didn't actually roll out.
Thank you very much for joining us on the program today, Kerry.
Thank you very much for having me.